Congregation, a lot is going on in our days. We live in turbulent days, not only in the Netherlands, but also in the States and global, worldwide. In these days, many probing questions are fired at us. To name just a few of these questions and things. First of all, global questions about the environment. We are unable to solve these global questions about the environment local. We need a global approach to solve these huge problems. And these problems are huge, just to mention two of them. First of all, the rising sea level. I'm living in the Netherlands, and you know that half of the country is below sea level. Can you imagine what kind of problems the rising sea level will cause in the Netherlands the coming decades? Huge problems. And we can't solve this problem just in the Netherlands. We need a global approach. Just to mention another, an environmental problem. What about the pollution in the water, the seas and the oceans? In the oceans and the seas and the water are many tiny plastic particles, too small to see. But they end up in living organisms, and they end up in our stomach and our body. How do we solve these problems? It raises an important question. The Lord promised Noah, Genesis 8, while the earth remains, seedtime and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What a promise. But if we look around us in this world and we see all these huge environmental problems, the question rises, will God keep this promise? Or to put it in another way, is it worthwhile to stick to God and His word? That's the question for this sermon. But there are more probing questions fired. What about the direction science and culture are heading towards? Many things are happening, and the culture and science are moving rapidly away from God and His word. Think, for example, about the evolution theory. Think, for example, about all the issues regarding gender, relationship, men and women, marriage. And all society is moving away from God and His word rapidly. And again, it could raise the question for us, is it worthwhile for us to stick to God and His word in this world? Another probing question. What about the future of Christianity? In our so-called highly civilized countries, God is no longer relevant. God is no longer necessary. Is it worthwhile for us to stick to God's word? What about God? In the Netherlands, every week, another church is closing its doors. And it raises question, especially amongst the youngsters. Why should I stick to God and His word? Where is He? Where is His power? To mention another question. What about the brokenness in our lives? Many of us suffer from depression, illness, disability, financial problems. And it could raise the question in our life, where is God, my God? Can I really trust Him? Is it worthwhile to worship my God and to stick to His word in the brokenness of my life? Why doesn't He change my life? Why is this brokenness keeping on and on and on? It doesn't seem to change in my life. A last question. What about this threefold enemy in our lives? Satan, the world, and my own corrupt heart. Do you know this enemy? Every Christian for sure knows this threefold enemy. And all of this raises the question, where is God? Is it worthwhile to stick to His word? So let's face it, the question if we can trust God is an important question. Not only in the days of the prophet Isaiah, but still today, in every age, this question is of the uttermost importance. Can I really trust God? Because if we cannot trust God, our faith is in vain. But on the other hand, if we can trust God, our life is built upon the rock of ages. Precisely because this question is raised again and again and again in all times, it also comes up in Isaiah 40. And we are going to listen to a few words from Isaiah chapter 40. The theme of the sermon this morning is God, the utterly other one. God, the utterly other one. 2 points of attention. First one, behold God the sovereign. Behold God the sovereign. Second point of attention, hear God the Holy One. Behold God the sovereign and hear God the Holy One. So first point of attention, behold God the sovereign. I think it's important whenever we read from God's word to have a wider look to the context. And that's where we start this morning if we open Isaiah 14. Let's first of all look to the wider context of the words spoken by the mouth of the prophet in chapter 40 of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, 9 as far as 39, are really about one topic, the servanthood of the people of God, Israel. In these first 39 chapters, Israel is called to be the servant of God in the world, the light of the world, the salt of the world. But that's not an easy task. One thing is very important. If Israel then and we now want to be God's servant, there is one main condition. We need to trust God. Because how is it possible to be a servant of a master if the servant doesn't trust his master? Then the servant is certainly not a good servant, and he will forsake his master. So for Israel and for us nowadays, to trust God is of the uttermost importance in our lives. Otherwise, we cannot serve God, our most high master. But there are things complicating the servanthood of Israel. Israel is surrounded by threatening nations, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and other mighty countries. And they threaten Israel in their existence. And they threaten the God of Israel in his might and power. Because these nations seems to be far more mightier and powerful than Israel and the God of Israel. And these threatening nations are also very attractive. Their strength is so great. Their wisdom seems to be so great. So there is something very strange going on. At one end, all these surrounding nations are threatening Israel in their existence. And at the other hand, these nations which are threatening Israel are so attractive in their power, in their wisdom, in everything, in their riches. And history learns Israel is not able to trust their God. They don't succeed in serving their God as they should. Again and again, they fail. And Isaiah, as a prophet of God, again and again calls Israel to serve their God and to trust their God. But again and again Israel fails. How terrible. That's the first part of Isaiah 1, chapter 1 up to 39. And then starting from chapter 40, a new chapter is opened in the book of Isaiah. And the prophet prophesies about the future. And he sees pictured before his eyes by the Holy Spirit how Jerusalem will fall by the hands of the Babylonians and how the Judeans will be exiled to Babylonia. How terrible these words of the prophet. And especially for the people living in times when these words came true, questions arise. Questions like, what does it mean that God doesn't want to deliver us from the hand of this mighty enemy Babylon? Another question, will our sins hinder God from keeping his promises? Is restoration possible? Can God restore? Or is the God of the Babylonians mightier? Will God restore? In other words, the main question in those days is, can God still be trusted? And Isaiah's answer in chapter 40 and all the other chapters, starting from chapter 40, is this answer. God's trustworthiness does not end at the point of the disobedience of his people. How wonderful is God? What a message for us today. God's trustworthiness wordiness does not end at the point of our obedience today. God is a God of love, infinite love, true love. He is so utterly different from us. And Isaiah tells the people, and he tells us nowadays, trust God. Please trust him in your life. You know, it is exactly through these hard times that God is learning us a question. Learning us a lesson. And this lesson is, God is incomparable and God will deliver. Wherever we are, how big our sins are, you can trust God. Please trust him. His love is so great, so infinite great. Faith is learned exactly through hard times. And that's why God's people often experience hard times and difficult circumstances in their life, and persecution in all different kinds of ways. Isaiah begins chapter 40 with these beautiful words. In these hard and difficult times, he is pointing towards God. And he says, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord and double of her all her sins. What a comforting words from Isaiah in those days. Impressive words. Isaiah 40, verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted. Verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The word of Isaiah in those difficult days is, you can trust God because he is a God of infinite strength, infinite wisdom, infinite love. So Isaiah tells the people of God, keep trusting your God. And that God is us telling us nowadays exactly the same. Congregation of Grand Rapids, keep trusting God. He is worthwhile to be honored. He will deliver from sins. That's the message of Isaiah then and nowadays. But if we move back to these exiles in those days, we understand from the words of Isaiah that they are still wandering, despite the comforting words of Isaiah spoken by him, that they still wonder if God is capable of really delivering them. They say to each other, he can say that, but does he also make it happen? And then we come in the verses 12 to 26. And these verses, Isaiah 40, 12 to 26, can be divided in two parts, namely verses 12 up to 20 and verses 21 up to 26. And the first part, verses 12 up to 20, you can write above them, see God the sovereign. See God the sovereign God. You know, it are beautiful words in Isaiah 40. Starting from verse 12 and onwards, the prophet is raising questions. It is a long list of questions. Actually, they are not raised by the prophet, but they are raised by God. You see what God is doing in those days? And what he is doing nowadays in our lives? Many of us are stuck in by the brokenness of our lives. By fighting against this threefold enemy, Satan, the world, and our heart. By the questions raised because of the environment, science, culture. Many questions are raised because of all these circumstances in our life. But God is turning roles. And that's what God is doing always. God is turning roles. How wise is God? Infinitely wise. This morning he says towards the congregation of Grand Rapids, stop raising your questions about what is going on in your life, what is going on globally, what is going on in your own flesh. Stop raising these questions. Now it's my turn. I am God Most High, and I am going to ask you questions. How great it is that you are able to hear the word of God. And God is standing in front of you and raising questions to you. You see what God is doing? He says you are stuck in your own problems. Spiritually, in other ways. Because you are so limited in your own resources. There is no wisdom in you, congregation of Grand Rapids. There is no strength, there is no wisdom in you. You fell short. But I am the source of all strength and wisdom. And that's why God is raising questions. A whole chapter. One question after the other. And time and again, the same point is repeated. I am God Most High. Worship me. And your life will be totally different. That's Isaiah chapter 40. A most important chapter. Let's see some of these questions. We go over some of these verses. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Wow. The hollow of my hand. Children, let me see the hollow of your hand. It's not that big, eh? Are you able to measure it? In the hollow of your hand, children and youngsters, the waters of the oceans and the seas. Of course not. Our hand is so small. We are so limited. Of course not. What a strange question, isn't it? And it goes on. Who has meted out heaven with the span? This is a span. It's a hand press. Hand wide. And we are going outside, children, and we look to the heavens. And now I ask you, are you able to measure the heaven with your hand? Of course not. You need something totally different. Heavens, it is impossible to measure heavens. Totally impossible. The next question arises. Who is able to comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure? Yeah, of course nobody. Have you ever seen a bucket? And have you ever tried to put the dust of the whole earth in this one bucket? It's impossible. We are so limited. And the next question arises, are you able to weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in balances? And you see these high mountains up to 4,000 meters, 5,000 meters, 14,000, 15,000 yards. Wow, it's amazing. Have you ever tried to weigh these mountains in a balance or a scale? In your kitchen or your workroom, you start laughing. It's impossible. But now serious. All these questions are raised by God Most High. And actually there is one who is able to measure the heavens with his hand. There is one who is able to weigh the mountains on scales. There is one who is able to measure the waters in the hollow of his hand. And that one is God Most High, our Creator. He is Almighty. He is so great. Congregation, do you see what God is doing by raising these questions? He's actually telling me as a pastor and you as elders and deacon and church members and whoever you are, please turn to me. That's what God says, turn to me. I am unlimited in strength and wisdom. With me is all power in heaven and on earth. With me, nothing is impossible. You are struggling with holiness in your life. You are struggling with this threefold enemy. You are struggling with so many things because of the brokenness in your life. You are struggling with all these environmental problems. With me, nothing is impossible. He's Creator. You see, God is turning roles. You are not the center of the world, my boy, girl, father, mother. God is the center of the world. And by raising all these questions, He is putting Himself in the center of the world and calling us to worship Him. That's what God is doing. What a wonder, what a miracle. We are able to hear the word of God. There are so many people living outside the church which never hear God's word. And they don't hear these questions from God. And we are able to hear them. Let us thank the Lord. We move on. Verse 30. The Lord is again raising questions. They topple over each other. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who has directed from outside the inner being of the Lord? Who has directed from outside the will of God, God's feeling, God's heart? Nobody, of course. Because God is the source of all wisdom and the source of all strength and power. God doesn't need to be taught. Oh, we human beings, we are so small. Without learning, we are nowhere in life. And our youngsters need to go to school to be taught and to gain wisdom. Without learning in our life, we will not gain wisdom and we will not be able to gain a good position in life and income. But God is so totally different. He doesn't need to be taught. Because He's the source of all wisdom. You see, God is turning everything around. We are asking God, where are you? Is it worthwhile sticking to your word? We don't understand you. We don't understand your ways. And God said, of course you don't understand, congregation of Grand Rapids. Because you need to be taught by me, and I am going to teach you who I am. You know who I am, says the Lord? Look to my son. Do you want to see God? Then watch his son. And you see the strength of God Almighty. And you see the wisdom of God Almighty. You see the love of God Almighty. Look to Jesus and you see God the Father. The next question is raised. 13b. Or being his counselor has taught him. Of course, God is not in need of having a counselor. God is the big counselor himself. And God says this morning, I long to be your counselor in your life. Put your life in my hand. And I, the Almighty and the All-Wise God, will be your counselor. And I will lead you in your life wherever you go. How difficult your life might be, I will be your counselor. So actually, these two verses, 12 and 13, learned on us that God has all power, verse 12, and verse 13, he has all wisdom. We continue, verse 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed him the way of understanding? And of course, the implicit and presupposed answer is nobody. You know, the point addressed in verse 14 is this point. God is the origin, the source of all strength and wisdom. There is one source for strength and wisdom. And that's God himself. He is infinitely wise, infinitely powerful. You know, this knowing puts our questions in a different light. You know why we don't understand? Why we are often so stuck in our life, either spiritually or other ways? Because we are up against the limits of our strength and wisdom. But there is no limit in God's power and wisdom. So at the end of these three verses, there is one conclusion. We need to trust God, because he's the source of all strength and the source of all wisdom. And God is reversing roles. And he's telling us, please trust me. I am worthwhile that you trust me. But the prophet is not satisfied. Israel was not satisfied. We are not satisfied. And the questions continue and going on. So we arrive at the verses 15, 16 and 17. And now we start looking around. And what do we see when we look around? We see powers, nations, spiritual powers, so mighty, so powerful. And the question arises, verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, Our count, it is the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. So our question is, what about all these nations and all these powers around us which influence and threaten us and attract us? And we are so weak in our heart. We cannot stand up against the attractions of the world. All these temptations. And God tells us very clearly, behold the nations, all powers, not only the nations, but all powers, the spiritual powers, are as a drop of a bucket. Have you ever seen a bucket coming from a well, and there is one drop of water attached to the bucket? Well, God says, all these powers which you are afraid for, the big nations, the world, Satan, there is no strength in you to fight against them. Maybe you even don't want to fight against them because they are so attractive. You see, all these powers for me, they are like a drop on the bucket. I'm far more powerful. I do have all strengths. That's why we are stuck in our life, because we don't stick to God and his word, and we don't trust him in all his strengths and wisdom. We continue. Verse 60. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. So first of all, if we move back, God told us, I am all powerful. I have all wisdom. I am the source of all power and wisdom. Then he told us, don't be afraid, for all these powers around you will threaten your life. And think about that threefold enemy. Don't be afraid of them, because I am stronger than they are. I am more powerful. And now we are looking to the wealth of all the nations and the riches of the world. Something strange is going on in our life with regard to the world around us. I hope, congregation of Grand Rapids, the world is an enemy for you. This threefold enemy, Satan, the world, and our heart. But to be honest, the world is so often a friend of us, so attractive for us. Am I right? And we long for the riches of the world. We long for the gold and the silver of the world. We long for a good position. We long for a good income. Right? Am I right? So this enemy is so attractive for us. You know what God says? Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. In those days, Lebanon was full of high trees. And God says, all the riches of the Lebanon, all the riches of the world, is not enough for a burnt offering for me. Why are we longing so desperately for the riches of the world? God says, I am the creator of all these things. If you long after me, I will give you whatever you want. What you need in your life. I will give whatever you need. And that's enough. All the riches of the world is not enough to give God the honor he deserves. He is so infinitely great. So why are we longing for this world and the riches? Let us long after God. He is the creator of all these riches. And he gives us in his personal life whatever he wants to give. And he holds from us if he wants. That's God. And we continue, verse 17. All nations, all powers of the world are as nothing for him. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Why are we trembling for the world? And why is the world so attractive? Why are we afraid for Satan even? Look what he says. All nations, all powers are as nothing for God. They are counted to him less than nothing, vanity. They are like a sigh. If God blows for a moment, all these enemies are gone. There is that fierce fight in our life to live up to the standards of God, to be holy for him because he is holy. And we don't succeed. Why? Because so often we try to get from our own sources the strength and the wisdom. But God says, I am the source of all strength and wisdom. So stick to me and my word. I will fight for you. Look to Jesus Christ. He is the victor. All nations are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing. Vanity. God's honor, wealth, splendor, wisdom exceed far the honor, the splendor, and the wisdom of the world. Let us not be confused by all these powers, but let's look out to God. We continue, verses 18 until 20. If God is so high and full of power and wisdom, and the earthly peoples compared to that are nothing, who and what is God? That's the next question. You know, we desperately want to have an image of God. Why? Why do we want to have in our life an image of God? You know why? Because if we have an image of God in our life, then we are able to control God. In other words, if we want to have an image of God, we can control God, and God will serve us. We are again reversing roles. How terrible this is. How terrible. We can't control God. He is the Most High. We need to serve him and not the other way around. Let us not make idols in our life, an image of God. Let us serve him. Verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? In other words, if God is so all-powerful and infinitely wise, and the nations are nothing for him, with whom will God then be compared? And we continue, what likeness will you compare unto him? What does he look like, God? And of course, the answer is clear for the questions in verse 18. With nothing. God is far beyond our understanding and rises far above our lives. He is the totally other one. It is impossible to compare God with anything else. He is the totally other one. What a comfort if you struggle in your life to know that God is the totally other one, and it's impossible to make an image from him. Verse 19 and 20. Now the prophet comes up with the process of producing an idol. The process of producing an image of God in our life. Verse 19. The workman melts a graven image. The goldsmith spreads it over with gold. Casted silver chains. He secures it with silver chains so that the image does not fall down. He that is so impoverished that he has no offering, choose a tree that will not rot. He takes a piece of wood. He seeks unto him a cunning workman, and that workman prepares a graven image that shall not be moved. In other words, this is the process of producing an image of God. A God after our own imagination. We want to have a God in our service. This is the original sin, the sin of paradise. God created us. He gave us the Garden of Eden. He gave us so much of his wisdom and strength and his Holy Spirit and eternal life. And then we rebelled. Why? Because we wanted to be as God. We wanted to be a God ourselves. And what is God doing here in Isaiah 40? He is reversing roles. And he says, I am God Most High. Please step down from your throne. Worship me. I am the all-powerful and the all-wise God, the source of all goodness. Worship me. You know why this image is always so costly? Because the image here of God, this idol, is made from gold and silver. You know why images are always so costly? Idols. Because we long for the riches of the world. That's so deep in our heart since this original sin that we long for the riches of the world. How foolish. You know why the prophet says that the producer of the idol casts silver chains, in other words, secures the idol, secures it so that it cannot fall down, topple over. You know why? Because we long for the riches in our life. We long for the riches of the world, and we want to enjoy them as much as possible and as long as possible. How foolish we are, because God is the source of all riches of the world. If we have God, we have everything. There is no lack at all for anything. It is impossible to make an image of God. He's totally different. He transcends our thoughts, our wealth, our strength, our power, everything. He cannot be compared by anything. He is God, he's the sovereign. Let us worship him in his sovereignty. What a rest, congregation, it is to rest in his sovereignty, to rest in his strength, to rest in his power, to rest in his wisdom, because he's the source of all of that. Then we don't need to be God in our lives. Wonderful how God is reversing roles and asking us the questions. And putting himself right before us. and tells us, here I am, and I am longing for your heart. I am longing to give you everything which you long for. Turn to me, worship me. Well, before we go to the last verses, let us sing Psalter 252. 252. Verses 1 up to 4. Psalter 252. Jehovah sits enthroned in majesty, most bright. And what follows? 252, 1, 3, 2, 3, and 4. So until now, the prophet and God mainly engaged the sense of our imagination. And he showed us many things, and he painted them before our eyes. And he told us, I am God all-powerful, I am God all-wise. I am the source of all strength and all wisdom. All other powers are created by my hands. I'm the highest ruler. I am the one who sits above the earth. I control all powers. So don't be afraid. Trust me. The key of life is trusting God, having faith in God's triune. And that's exactly the problem. Because in paradise, we rebelled against God. And we lost God. We lost our connection with God, the source of all power and wisdom. We lost our connection with God, the God of life. And now this morning, God is standing before us and asking us questions and showing us the foolishness of our life, of longing after the world and the idols, the images of the world, And he says, I am far better. So actually this was the first part of Isaiah 40 verses 12 up to 20. God is the totally other one and is reversing roles. And is telling us, I am God, trust me. But now in the last verses, starting from 21, the voice of the prophet becomes more intense. And now he turns on our hearing, not only our imagination, but he turns on our hearing. You know what Isaiah is doing now, and what God is doing now, from starting from verse 21 and up? He is telling us that God is not only the totally other one and the transcendent God, the God far above us, but he is also a God of nearness. And he comes very close to us. Yes, it's right, he is the most high, the most exalted, but at the other hand, he is the God most near to us in his Son Jesus Christ, and by his Spirit and his Word. And that's what he's showing us in the next verses. He is telling us, I will not leave my creation despite their sins. I will not leave, and let alone and let go my creature, because I am the Creator, and I am a God of love. I am the God who will again choose people, and he did it from for eternity. He chose people to be his people. And in time, he comes with his Spirit and opens our eyes through the Word. We see his Son in all his beauty. So God, the totally other one, all strength and all power are with him, is a God who draws near to us in his love. And that's what the prophet is telling us, starting from verse 21. Verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth, congregation? There is a difference between hearing and hearing. You can sit in the church. You can hear the word of God. But at the same time, you don't hear the word of God. Why? Because our heart is not touched by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the words remain words outside our life. There is a difference between hearing and hearing. And congregation, to hear God's word with your ears is not enough to die and to meet this most holy God. You will perish forever. And that's why we prayed before we started the sermon, send your Holy Spirit. Illumine our hearts. Enlighten us. Because what we need is to hear with our heart, and that God's word becomes part of our life, and that the Holy Spirit indwells our life. And that's why time and again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you hear God saying to us, hear. Think about the well-known words in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. Already then it was the same problem. There was a hearing, but there was no real hearing. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 13, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears, boy? Do you have ears? Yes, I have. But do you have ears here? That's the main question. Did I really hear God's word? You know what's happening in your life when you start hearing God's word? With your heart, by the indwelling spirit, who is so mighty and powerful and wise? Well, your heart is the cradle of all our actions. Your heart is as the command center of your life. In a previous life, years ago, I was an officer at the Royal Navy. And in every vessel, war-going vessel, there is a command center. And in that command center, the decisions are taken and the actions set out. Well, that's our heart. That's a picture of our heart. And we are in desperate need of hearing God's word with our heart. And you know what's happening? When you really hear God's word in your heart, your life will change, for sure. It will never be the same. Because God, that most high God, that all-powerful God, that all-wise God, that God who is the source of all goodness and all love, that God who is full of true love, that God indwells in your heart. We are reversing roles time and again. And we are trying to live holy by our own strength, by our own wisdom. And we get stuck because we are limited in strength and wisdom. And we are running up against the brokenness in our life, and we can't fight, and we can win the fight against the threefold enemy. But God says, I want to give you everything. Just here. Congregation of Grand Rapids, this is the most important question. Please listen. Did you really hear the word of God by the force of that indwelling spirit? That's the most important question. And I can guarantee you, if you hear God's voice, you can see it in your lives. Oh no, you will not be sinless. No, definitely not. But your life will change. Behold, you've seen God and his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? And then he continues, it is he that sits upon the circle of the earth. When you look outside and you look to the horizon, you see a circle. When you look to the skies, you see a circle. And God says, I am beyond that circle of the horizon and the circle of the skies. In other words, I am the creator. In other words, you are my creature. In other words, I don't let you go. I'll knock at the door of your heart till the moment you die and you give in by the power of my spirit and you are mine. That's God's voice. Did you hear God's voice? Despite all our sins. Or maybe you don't know that you are a sinner. Did you never discover in your life your sins? Youngsters, when you go to sleep at night, do you bow your knees and confess your sins? and ask for Jesus Christ as a Savior. May you raise up in the morning elders, fathers, mothers. Do you pray to God, please guide me this day by your Holy Spirit. Indwell me with your Spirit. Because you are the source of all strength and wisdom. You are the one you promised me by the mouth of your prophet Isaiah that sits above the earth. In other words, you are my creator. Please recreate me day by day. You are worth it. Forgive all my foolishness and stubbornness of creating idols and longing for the world. I long for you, my Savior. Verse 22. The inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers. We are like small crickets. Why do we think so high about ourselves? You know what God is doing in our life? He is breaking us so that we become the most humble persons. That we take our cross and bear it after God's Son, Jesus Christ. We are just like grasshoppers and crickets, that's all. But at the same time, God doesn't let go these grasshoppers and crickets. And he says, despite you are crickets and running all the way and making a lot of noise, I long for you and I long for your heart. He continues, I stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. This whole earth is God's tabernacle. It's God's tent. And he longs to dwell in this tent. How? He longs to dwell in your heart. Day by day. He is the one, verse 23, that brings the princes to nothing. All the powers of the world, including the spiritual powers, are nothing for him. He is the one that brings powers to power. But he is also the one that will take them away. Verse 24. Hardly they are planted, these powers of the world. Hardly they are sown. Hardly they take root in the earth, and God blows upon them, and they wither. God is the God Most High. Why are we so stuck in our problems and in our spiritual fight? Because we don't trust God. Let's trust God from this day on and forwards, every day of our life. And bow our knees before God Most High. And then something happens in Isaiah 40. Look to verse 25. This is so wonderful. Because until now, the prophet raises questions for God. Many questions. And he raised many questions for you. Did you answer the questions? Did you hear the questions? What is your answer this morning? But now, after the prophet has raised all these questions, something wonderful is going to happen. Verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. The Holy One himself speaks to us. That's a miracle. He reveals himself. How? Through the word. That's how he reveals himself. How does he reveal himself? Through his son, Jesus Christ. The living word of God. And he tells his dear congregation of Grand Rapids, to whom will he liken me? Do you know the answer? Please don't make an idol of anything in your life. Please. Don't make an image of God. God has given an image of himself. Did he? Do you know what the image of God is? He gave you an image. Jesus Christ, his son. Do you want to know whom God is? Open the Bible. Read the Gospels. And you get a clear image whom God is. To whom will you liken me? To Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. Do you long for him? He gave his life. He left heaven and all the splendor and wealth and honor in heaven. He put on human clothes. He became inhuman like us. He, the Most High One, became so near. He came in the midst of us. He became one of us. And he said, give me your burdens, give me your sins. You are limited in your sources. You are limited in your strength and your wisdom. Give all your brokenness and your sins to me. And he bare that cross of all our brokenness and sins. And he died in our place. To whom will he liken me? To Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a love. That's true love. That's love until death parts. Love unto death. To whom will ye liken me? Dear congregation of Grand Rapids, who is Jesus Christ for you? Do you know him? Did you hear his voice? No, not once, but day by day. Boys, girls, fathers, mothers. Please, God is so worthwhile to adore and to worship. His love is so infinitely great. He is there. Believe him. Have faith in him. Trust him. Amen. So we let's sing again. Psalter 252. Psalter 252, yeah. I have to pray first. Sorry. Yeah, it's a different order in Holland. Sorry for that. Let's first thank God. Sorry for that. Lord Most High, we heard your word. Thanks for that. You are so infinitely great. You are the source of all strength and the source of all wisdom. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, as an offer. He became the Lamb of God. And in him we see your strengths. We see your wisdom and your goodness. You are not only a transcendent God, but you are a God of nearness. And we beg you, please give your Holy Spirit day by day. Give everyone here true faith. Give them this most high and most valuable gift of trophies. Lord, forgive our foolishness of longing so much after the world and fighting against the world in our own resources. Forgive all our questions and let us just listen to your voice who says, I love you. Lord, thanks for your word. Please forgive all our shortcomings and failures. The deliverance of the sermon was weak. Forgive us. But let the power of your Spirit do the work. Lord, hear us. And thanks for your word. Bless us. Bring us together again later on today to hear your word again from Isaiah 49. All this we thank you and we ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.